Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again, as we've been doing for about 30 years here in Southwest Florida. And that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and also our new friends at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio, and also our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And I'm so grateful for their partnership as we just come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us, you know that we're going through a series of messages on the portraits of God, because every passage of Scripture that I read, I just see a portrait of God. And today, I want to talk to you about how the Lord is our personal confidant. And we'll actually be going to several passages, starting in Exodus 33, but I'm just so excited to talk about this, because He is a personal God. He loves to speak with us at a far more personal level than we may realize, hence seeing Him in this portrait as our personal confidant. And just a reminder, if you want to get the previous messages on this topic, this is message number 51, actually. You can find them archived on my website, markpg.org. You can tell your friends about it if they haven't been able to tune in. But I just love sharing these portraits of God in these 27-minute audio broadcasts. But you can also find some 3-minute versions in video on the different portraits of God. And again, you can find that at markpg.org, along with many other helps in helping you hear God. So, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord now and ask Him to speak as we get ready to just take a nice leisurely walk through His love letters to us, which we call the Bible. Oh, let's pray together. Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful for the privilege You've given me over all these years just to come and sit at Your feet with my brothers and sisters, just to compare notes and share hearts of how You are indeed so many, many things to us, so many portraits describing how much You love us. And so today, as we take a journey in discovering how You are our personal confidant, I pray You'll help me do the topic justice, to paint a portrait for my brothers and sisters that will just draw them into Yourself, Lord, to experience that personal intimacy that You intend to have with them. So thank You, Lord, for this journey we get to take today. May it help our journey in the weeks, months, and years to follow. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, my friends, if you happen to have your Bible with you, let me invite you to go over to Exodus chapter 33. We're going to pick it up in verse 9 there, and then we'll be going to Jeremiah, and then Matthew, and then James, as there are 4 takeaways, if you're a note taker, that I want to highlight about how the Lord is our personal confidant. So let's pick up the first one, which I draw out of Exodus 33, beginning in verse 9, when the Bible described what was happening during that season when the children of Israel had departed from Egypt and they were out in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And that's the context where we find Exodus 33:9. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, by the way, that was the tent of meeting, that's what they called it, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. That's verse 11, my friends. I'm going to read that one again. Thus the Lord used to speak with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Well, Let me settle something real quickly, get it out of the way. It's true that no man has seen the actual face of God. We see that in another portion of Scripture. And here it says they speak face to face, but this is a figure of speech. Face to face means to speak to one another intimately and personally. Hence the second part of the verse in verse 11, just as a man speaks to his friend. So here's our takeaway, number one out of four, about the Lord as our personal confidant. Well, our personal confidant, number one, speaks when we need a friend. He speaks when we need a friend. Of course, he speaks as the king. He speaks as a father. He speaks as our husband. But in this particular passage, it's highlighting this particular metaphor of being our friend. Now, what's unique about this? Well, as a friend, a friend that you choose, a friend that has become your bestie, it's somebody that you feel safe with. It's somebody that you trust. It's somebody that you can share anything with, and you know they're not going to think less of you. They're not going to dump you. They're not going to love you less. You trust them that much, and you are that safe with them. This is the idea that the Scripture is giving us here. The Lord wants us to know that when we are really, really struggling and we need a friend, well, He is our friend. He is very safe. He is very trustworthy. And it just so happens He's also our King. He's also our Father. He's also the bridegroom, our husband. He's also so many things, which all of these portraits we walk through tell us about. But in this particular passage, I just love how the Lord, our personal confidant, speaks when we need a friend. You know, let me see if I can illustrate this for you, just from my own life. So several years ago, I had been serving at the church that I helped replant with. You know, we started with 24 people, and I had the privilege of serving there for 23 years, and this was in this 23rd year when the story takes place, because in all candor, I had been struggling in leading the church in that last couple of years. I was getting more fatigued, emotionally fatigued. I was getting a little more short-tempered. I never was short-tempered. I was getting a little more doing things by rote. You know, my heart was just struggling. And so the elders and I were talking at one point early in that final year, and they said, well, let's give you a sabbatical. Why don't you take 3 months off? So I did, and off I went. Had a wonderful 3 month sabbatical. They were very gracious to give me that. I had a marvelous time with the Lord and had some heart surgery, you know, really helped the Lord, you know, asked the Lord to look at my heart and heal my heart. And so when I got back, man, we hit the ground running and fresh vision, and off we went. But it only lasted about 5 or 6 weeks, and it tailed off that quickly. And my heart fatigue, my emotional fatigue, all of that came back. And one of my closest friends, who happened to be one of the elders, called me one day, said, hey, can we meet? Can we get together? I said, yeah, why don't we get together at my office tomorrow night? And yeah, whatever, as well as on your heart. But he came over. He sat down with me. He said, look, I have to tell you, man, people are noticing you're right back to where you were earlier this year, and they're struggling. They're really struggling. And some are even talking about maybe it's time for them to leave. And I'm saying, really? He said, yeah. I said, what's going on with your heart, man? And I said, man, honestly, I'm not sure. I really thought I had heart surgery on my sabbatical, but I guess it was angioplasty, and it didn't take. I still have the heart problem, you know. Well, what's it going to take to get healed? I said, brother, I honestly don't know. I just don't know. And he said, well, so what do you think? What are we going to do? I said, well, you know me. I look at every option with something like this. And in all candor, I think one of the things we need to do is pull the other elders together. Let's have a meeting. Let's talk about an exit strategy. Maybe that's what we need to do. What? No, we're not talking about you leaving. Nobody's saying that. You know, we just want you to get healed and all. I said, well, but I'm bringing it up. We at least need to talk about it. And then he said, well, what would you do? And I said, oh, well, I'll tell you what I do. First, I would do this, and then I would do this, and then I'd be able to focus on that, and then I would do this. And after like 45 seconds, he put his hand on my knee and he said, "Brother, you just lit up like a light bulb and got your energy back, your sparkle back when you stopped talking about being at the church and started talking about doing something else, all those things you just listed." And the light went off. I sat back in my chair. A big smile came over my face. And I said, "Oh my goodness, Lord, it's time to go. It is time to go." And I excitedly began to say, let's get the elders together. We got to start talking about this exit strategy. It's time. I started just talking about the next steps. And his jaw had just dropped. He was stunned. And I said, "Be at peace, brother. Actually, this is something my wife and I have been talking about the last couple of years, about this possibility. I'm going to talk with her tomorrow. It's my day off. I'll get it confirmed, but I pretty much know what she's going to say. But it's okay. It's time. It's time. I know it's time." The Lord, my personal confidant, used a friend who was an earthly personal confidant to cut through all the noise, to pierce the fog, and let me know it was time to go. And a few weeks later, we put that into place and I left. And a few months after that, the Lord said, "Here's your new position." And now I am still in Southwest Florida, but I get to work with all of our churches as a pastoral consultant and a church consultant with them. And what a joy it is. But the point is this: the Lord, our personal confidant, speaks when we need a friend, and he used my good friend to help me see that it was time to make one of the toughest and most important decisions in my entire life. Do you have a friend like that in Jesus, do you have friends like that that God can use to speak to the depths of your heart when you got some things going on and you're not sure why your heart is struggling the way it is? That's when we need an earthly friend that God can use, because he himself is our personal confidant that wants to free us up from whatever is weighting us down. He speaks when we need a friend. Well, there's a second takeaway on this theme of how the Lord is our personal confidant, and I pick it up out of a classic passage in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2 through 3. That's Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 3. "Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Oh, I just love this. If you're a note taker, the Lord, our personal confidant, number one, speaks when we need a friend. And number two, he answers when we call in confusion. He answers when we call in confusion. Listen, we're in a COVID-weary world. There's global chaos, invasions, and hunger, and genocide, and all kinds of them, persecution. I mean, it is a lot going on in this world. And it's easy to get lost in the confusion, discouraged and dismayed and disillusioned and all. But when we cry out and call out to God, he will answer us when we call in confusion. And I love how the scripture puts it when God says, "I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Now, what are these great and mighty things that we do not know? Well, here's the deal. I love how that initial verse 2, reminds us that the Lord made the earth, the Lord formed it, the Lord established it. In other words, the Lord's got this. He's got it under control. He knows what he's doing. And there's always higher and deeper things that we can't see that God is doing, even in the midst of the global chaos and uncertainty, which is not just at the global level on the nightly news or and the internet feeds, but that filters into our own country, into our own community, into our own family, into our own hearts. We get confused. We get weary. But he's there. And when we call out to him, he answers when we call in confusion. Let me just see if I can illustrate this a couple of ways. The first I'm going to take right out of the New Testament. You know, when we get these exhortations, now this one's from the Old Testament era in Jeremiah, but we're going to see some more in the New Testament era. But think about this. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the people of God were under frequent oppression. I mean, you had the children of Israel in 400 years of captivity in Egypt. Then they had 40 years of wilderness wandering. And then you had many years of taking the promised land with war after war after war after war after war. You had the period of the United Kingdom for a season, but there were wars there. Then you had the period of the divided kingdom and also invasion by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians and all. And then you had the exilic period. And then you had the intertestamental period when you had Alexander the Great and the Greeks conquering the world. You had this Medo-Persian Empire in the mix. You had so much going on. And then the curtain opens in the New Testament, and you have Roman oppressive occupation. I mean, it was total global chaos in the biblical world. People were constantly struggling, and yet there can be peace in the midst of it. There can be clarity in the midst of the confusion, because God will share with you great and mighty things that are higher and deeper than the conditions that were happening at the time. I mean, think about this. Let's just take the New Testament season alone. Did Jesus have anything to say or do about conquering Rome and this oppressive, this arrogant, this vicious conquering Roman Empire, where the people had to contend with it? He said, I'm coming to establish another kingdom, one higher and deeper than this one. Don't worry about this one. Yeah, it's there. Yes, it's problematic. But listen, I'm going to give you some great and mighty principles and truths in the invisible realm about the invisible kingdom of God that I'm establishing, where you can have peace in the midst of Roman oppression on earth. Staggering. So no matter what kind of chaos you are immersed in the midst of it, being a kingdom of God citizen, approaching life with kingdom principles that are great and mighty, that are higher and deeper, you can have peace, you can have victory in the midst of occupation, in the midst of war, in the midst of a pandemic, my friend. Let me just make it even easier to understand. In high school, I was in algebra class and struggling a little bit and all. I was a straight A student and all. So I pretty much thought, you know, I had a handle on this. I didn't have to study a whole lot, but I knew how to calibrate that usually, but not in algebra. And I'll never forget one day when I had to take an algebra test and I had not been doing my homework of late. We had been progressing on in algebra and all this incredible mathematical, you know, depth and stuff. And I'd watch the professor or the teacher, I guess, in high school, do the theorems and things and the progressions on the board. Oh, yeah, makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then he'd do another one. And then he'd do another one. Each one. Oh, yeah, I can see that. Sure. Okay, no problem. So I didn't do the practice work. I came back to take the test. And oh, my goodness. I'll never forget looking at this page with all these problems to solve, and I didn't have a clue how to start. It was chaotic sets of numbers and letters to me. And that's when I had the shocking realization that it's easy to understand if the teacher's doing it for you, and you can just say, okay, I get that. But when you have to come up with those steps yourselves, when you have to draw it up from within, it's not possible unless you have done your homework, when you have dug in. In other words, That algebra test seemed absolutely chaotic to my superficial way of looking at it, because I hadn't gone deep enough to deepen the way to deal with the numeric seeming chaos. Well, that's life. Life is far more complex than algebra, and it can look so complex it's unsolvable, but deeper down, there are ways to deal with it, and it is the Lord who does that in his great and mighty ways. And you know what? I'm okay trusting him with that. Awesome. Well, there's a third takeaway I'd like to share with you. We're going to pick it up out of Matthew 10, 27. The Bible says this, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." Oh, I love that. And again, that's Matthew 10, 27. So here's our third takeaway. We're talking about how the Lord, our personal confidant, number one, speaks when we need a friend. Number two, answers when we call in confusion. But number three, he whispers when we're lost in darkness. He whispers when we're lost in darkness. What is the darkness? Well, it's darkened grief, darkened depression, darkened anger, darkened despair, darkened loneliness. And what we don't understand, when the pandemic hit, we lost a way of life and a rhythm of life. We all have been going through grief in all five stages, which includes depression and anger. And my friends, take a deep breath. It's okay. It's to be expected. But this is why we have a Savior. And when we're going through this darkened grief, depression, anger, despair, and loneliness, here's the great news. In that darkness, we can hear his reassuring whispers that he's right there for us. You know, I was dealing with some things in last year sometime, and my brother-in-law happened to be visiting, a godly man too, elder in his church off in Wyoming. And he saw that my heart was very heavy over certain situations in some of the churches that I was overseeing and stuff. And he saw how I was so weighted down, in addition to the COVID thing, in addition to all the other things, the economic uncertainty. But he saw me getting weighed down by this particular one close to home. And I'll never forget, one day after we had just, you know, we had lots of good discussions and stuff. But after, just before he left, the night before he left, we were talking one more time. And after we kind of finished that night, he paused. And then he said, I'll never forget this. He looked at me. He said, "Hey, Mark. Just a word. God's got this. God's got this." Oh, my friend, what a light in the darkness. What a reassuring whisper of God through my brother-in-law. To put it all in perspective. Yes, it looks overwhelming. Yes, it looks dark. But God operates out of the light. He's got it. My friend, God is the pilot. We are not the pilot. We're not even the co-pilot. We've seen that jumper sticker, "God is my co-pilot," foolishness. He's the pilot. And like I said, I'm not even the co-pilot. I'm the flight attendant. I'm just the servant, you know, to help others around me. So when the plane is pitching or the weather's bad, that's okay. I don't have to have the solutions. I don't have the training to deal with it. God's got it. God's got it. Relish the role of the flight attendant in this thing called life. My friend, God's got it all. He whispers when we're lost in the darkness. I got this. It's okay. I got this. Well, similarly, as we wrap it up, here's our fourth takeaway that we're going to pick up from James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. We've said that the Lord, our personal confidant, speaks when we need a friend, answers when we call in confusion. He whispers when we're lost in darkness. And number four, he comforts when we need his wisdom. Hey, are you facing some crossroads in your life? Do you have some decisions to make? Do you feel fogged in trying to make that decision? Or are you dealing with a lot of tension in the air at work or at home? Or are there even feuds going on? Hey, remember, God does have this, and he's going to comfort you when we need his wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it to him, the scripture says. And in James, it even goes further, and it describes it. And when it describes what wisdom from above is like, comfort is all over it. Listen to this. Who among you, this is James 3, verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. And then in verse 17, but the wisdom from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Oh, my friend, God comforts us with his wisdom from above. That's what our personal confidant does. And if he uses you to be somebody else's earthly representation of a personal confidant, comfort people. And when you offer the wisdom, do it gently and with a spirit of peace. That's how God does it. That's how he uses us to encourage others. Oh, I love how the Lord loves to speak to us at a far more personal level than we realize. He is our personal confidant. Well, Lord, we are just so grateful that you love to speak to us this way. When we need a friend, when we call in confusion, when we're lost in darkness, when we need wisdom, and you will just speak and answer and whisper and comfort us. You're so gracious. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask too that you will use us to deliver that to others as they have need. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, discover Jesus as your personal confidant.